Hello. Hi. Welcome to this session about self-revealing gestures, about teaching new touch gestures in Windows 8. My name is Kai Hofmeister. I've been working in Windows for the past 2 years, developing the Windows 8 touch language. And this session, it's not going to be so much about me telling you how things should be done or how things are. This is much more about some ideas that I have, some things that we've been working on, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the start of something. So I want to present some of these ideas and preferably discuss them with you. So if you have any questions during the session, please let me know, raise your hand. I'd be happy to kind of discuss things and discuss things afterwards as well. So if there's one thing that I'd like you to walk away with from this session, it's this. It's that learning new touch gestures, as far as I'm concerned, is not so much about discoverability. It's not so much about easy discovering these gestures, but it's about learnability. It's about making it easy to learn the gestures. And I'll explain a little bit what that means. A lot of people think that gestures should be natural or intuitive, or user interfaces even should be natural or intuitive. There is this idea that there are gestures or things that you can do that everybody just knows, that you never have to learn. It's like, I guess you knew these since you were a baby. And it's kind of related, like, oh, if we just get rid of the mouse and we use touch and maybe 3D gestures, everything will be natural and we never have to learn anything anymore. I don't think that's true. I think that we have to learn everything. We have to learn these gestures as well. And the mouse was learned. But also, if you use things, for instance, with touch that you already know, like, for instance, what happens sometimes is we copy things from the real world. So we take the metaphor of a book, and it has that has pages that you can flip over, and then we try to use that on a digital interface. So we try to make pages that you can flip over, because it's something that we know, it's something that's intuitive. But we also learned how to flip pages over. On the other hand, in addition to that, if you use those kinds of metaphors, you're limiting yourself to that world. So you're limiting yourself to the physical world, whereas in the digital world, you can do many, many more things. So I think we have to find a way of teaching the people who are using our systems, you who are using our apps, teaching them new gestures, teaching them gestures that really work well with that system. And I'll explain a little bit more what that means. First of all, I approach it from the point of view of a language. So what we're trying to do is we're talking to our computers. We're communicating with our computers. So say there's me, and then this other person on the other hand, on the other side is the computer. I say, please do this for me. And then the computer tells me back, this is done. That's what we do when we develop an interface. When I tap on an icon, I say, please start this application. And the computer will show me the application, and it's playing. Now, if I learn how to do that, if I tap on an icon, it starts the application. If I learn that once, I can do it in multiple places. So I can, in multiple apps, for instance, I can use that same gesture. And if we do it well, I can use it with lots of apps. So that's why I think learning is the right thing to do. It's not about discoverability, because I have to learn it only once, and then I can use it everywhere. I can use it everywhere in the system. I can use it in many different apps. So the question is, how do we make it easy to learn? Well, I think we have to create a language for these input methods. So in this case, for touch. We have to create a language for touch that we can teach to the people who are using our systems and that they can then understand and remember and easily use. I will start here with the end. This is a movie clip from one of our user studies. So this is a user who's sitting in a lab at Microsoft. She's sitting on the couch. We kind of say, make yourself comfortable. You can sit however you want to. She has a slate. She put a pillow on her. She's sitting cross-legged, put a pillow on there because she thought that's an easy way of interacting with the slate. And what we did is we gave her a prototype system. So it has the start menu, the new start menu. It has different apps. And we gave her tasks, so like open this app, find an email, things like that. And then we let her discover, we let her learn what those gestures are. And then after a while, we asked her what she thought of it. So I'd like you to listen to her comments.
very small learning curve once you know the touch. I like the fact that they...
I'm going to start this again so you can hear it from the beginning.
Like I said, a very small learning curve once you know the touch. I like the fact that they... they're the same in every, would it be application? That once you know how to operate email, this operates the same, selecting the pictures operated the same, etc. I like the continuity. How's that?
So there's a few things that she said that were interesting. She says it's a small learning curve, but she did have to learn it. So it's not, she didn't just start using the system and everything was obvious. It was not all fully discoverable. She had to figure out how things worked. And for some users, that's easier. And for some users, that's a little bit harder. The gesture that I'm talking about in this session, which is select, some users learn it in 30 seconds to a minute. Some take a few minutes to learn it. And we expect that also that some people might actually not be using that on the first day when they have their new machine, because they might not need that gesture yet. But then she said, once she learned it, it is really easy because she can use it across the system. She's talking about the continuity, that she can use it across apps. So that's what we're going for. That's what we're trying to achieve. A language with gestures that are easy to learn and that you can then use across the system so it becomes easy to use. Now, the advantage is that if we can create new gestures, we can optimize those gestures for the input method and for our abilities. So I'll talk a little bit about what I mean with that. I think input methods have to be optimized for the human properties that we have. And for instance, for touch, here's some examples of what that means. With our body, the precision is in our fingers. These digits, we can make very small movements, very fine movements. For instance, when you're writing, you can make all these really precise movements with your hand. But that precision is not in your shoulder or in your elbow. It's much harder to make a precise movement if your whole hand is floating. So when we're writing, then we place our hand on the table and we write. And the same if you're using a mobile phone, for instance. You hold that phone with your hand and you can use your thumb and you can be really precise. Another property of our movement is that our movement is always in circles. So our finger moves in circles, our joints move in circles, my elbow moves in circles. What that means is that it's hard to make straight lines for us, because if I make a straight line, I have to use multiple joints at the same time. And that means that I'm kind of sloppy. I never make really straight lines. Then there's things like the reach of fingers. Like if I'm holding a slate with two hands, I can only reach this far with my thumbs, for instance. There's the size of the fingers. If you use a mouse, you have a cursor that's relatively small, and it points to a specific pixel. If I put my finger on the screen, I'm covering a large part of that screen. And in addition, there's occlusion of the finger and the hand, so I'm also covering part of that screen so I can't see it anymore. So there's a whole bunch of properties that come with touch as an input method. And what we want to do is we want to design these gestures so that they account for those properties. They use the strengths of touch and they make sure that they don't get bad because of weaknesses of touch. So what does that mean for Windows? In the Windows 8 touch language, we wanted to design a gesture for selection. If you use the mouse, if you single-click on something, you select it. If you double-click on something, you launch it. And that selection is really handy because I can select something and then I can use commands on it, or I can move it somewhere, I can delete it. But with touch, if you tap on it, like single-click, single-tap, then you launch it. So now we are losing the ability to select something. In other systems, what often happens is there's a special mode for selecting something. But we were trying to avoid modes. So we were trying to figure out a way of how can you select something without going into a mode. And the way we did that is to use the sliding direction that was not used by the system. So there's many lists in the system that scroll in one way. In Windows 8, a lot of lists and grids scroll horizontally. So that means that the vertical direction is free for us to use. And we decided to use that for selection, because selection is a really important, it's a really important functionality in the system, and it enables a lot of other functionality, because now I can command on that selection. So when you slide orthogonal to the scrolling direction, you will select something. And I'll, if you haven't, many people have seen it already, but I'll show some examples in a minute as well. Then what we did later on, we added another feature, which was rearrange, which is what you see on the right-hand side. And what we did there is if you slide further than a certain threshold, you actually pull the item or the tile loose from the grid and you can rearrange it. And that made everything more complicated, but it also provided more functionality. So that's the basic premise, the basic gesture that we were thinking of. And before I dive into exactly how that gesture works and how we were teaching things, I just want to show a user who's playing with that, so just so you get an idea. This person, she is also in one of our labs, and she has a prototype on a slate. It's a fairly early prototype, and she was asked to select albums in that grid view on the right-hand side. And she has spent one to two minutes, with this grid playing around, and then afterwards, the researcher, who's just off-screen on the right-hand side, is asking her what she thinks about selection. So what you'll see is, while she's thinking about her answer and formulating her answer, she's just playing around with the grid, with selection, to kind of try to remember how she feels about it. So what I would like you to do is pay especially attention to what she's doing, even more than what she is saying.
Now that you've had a little more time to play with this and selecting and rearranging and the content of that menu, tell me what you like.
Now that I know how to do the selection, I like that.
Why?
Because it takes a flick of the finger movement. It's very easy to... I can go all over a bunch of them and select...
So this is a user who's new to the system and has learned his gesture only a few minutes ago, and she's already like selecting really fast. The reason for that is because the gesture works really well for our bodies. It's really easy for her to slide down on the screen. Also, there's not a small checkbox or something that you have to target to select something, but you can use the whole tile. You have to just put your finger down anywhere on the tile and you slide down to select something. So it works really well. It works really well for us, as long as you can learn how to do it. And that's where the problem is, because this is a new gesture that doesn't follow any conventions that we know about in general, so you have to figure out how to use it. I'll talk a little bit more about the aspects of the gesture itself, because there's two things that are important for learning. One of them is we have to carefully fine-tune that gesture. So there's a number of thresholds, there's visual feedback, and you have to get that just right to make the gesture feel really good to people. And I'll show you some early versions of where it doesn't feel so good. And then secondly, we have to find a way of how people can start learning about that gesture. So what you see here is the gray box in the top is a tile. You put your finger down on it, and then you drag down. But different things happen while you drag it down. The first part of dragging down, there's pixel sizes on the right-hand side, but those are not the actual pixel sizes. When you drag it down, first nothing happens. So that means if you put your finger down and you slide down a little bit, nothing bad will happen. You can tap and move a little bit accidentally, and you can still launch the application. Then if you drag down further, there's what we call a speed bump. What the speed bump does is it makes the tile go slower than your finger. So you can drag pretty wild, you can drag pretty far, be sloppy, but the tile won't move a lot. The tile will move less than your finger. So that makes it that you can make a big movement and just have a small result. Then there's another threshold where it becomes harder for the tile to move, and if you pull the tile through that, then it pulls loose from the grid, and now you can move it around. So in addition to those thresholds that there are, there's also a direction, because you don't only drag down, but you can drag down in a cone in different degrees, and we have to carefully fine-tune those angles. So between this, there was a lot of work done of fine-tuning these different distances, the pixel thresholds, and also fine-tuning these angles. In addition, we tried other things like using speed or using other thresholds, but the more of these kinds of thresholds you add, the more complicated the gesture becomes, and it becomes harder to learn. So I'll show you an example of a prototype that we used to learn about this. It's called a this was called a Threshold Explorer. So here you see a picture of just one tile, and then there's the different thresholds. And on the left-hand side here, you can actually change what those thresholds are to figure out how far you have to drag. So if I drag down, I put my finger on it, I drag down. First, the tile just follows my finger exactly. Then I'm going into the speed bump, and if I drag my finger down, it doesn't drag any further until I drag all the way down, and then it loosens itself from the grid. And I can show you that with an example background. If I drag it further down, now it's loose from the grid and I can move it around. So we used tools like this to fine-tune it, and then we did regular user studies where we tested our iterations to make sure that this was the optimal way, these were the optimal settings and thresholds. So that's the work that we did to create the gesture, to make the gesture work really well. The main message I want to give here is that it's really important to fine-tune the behavior characteristics of the gesture. It can be a really good gesture, but if your thresholds are wrong, people will not like it. They will find it hard to use. Then now I'll talk a little bit about how do we teach gestures to users. And here I'm going to take a few steps back. Because before I worked at Windows, I worked at Surface. And at Microsoft Surface, we had the opportunity to do a lot more experimentation and try out different things. And I'm going to show you some examples of what we were trying out there. The reason was that Surface is not as big of a product as Windows is. It doesn't have as many users. So we can change things more easily. And I'm going to show you a number of videos and prototypes to give you some examples of how we were thinking of how we can teach people new gestures. This first one is one where as soon as you put your finger down on the screen, the UI will give you clues about what other things you can do using visuals. So you put your finger down and those circles appear with arrows in them that show what else you can do. So it's for a non-uniform resizing. And then what we tried is we tried to give tips about what else you could do. So you saw an image appear there with two circles in it. Okay. So now if you put two fingers down, then you get different UI. So with two fingers you can scroll the window. And then if you put your finger in that other circle, you can now zoom. Remember, this was 4 years ago when the zooming gesture was not that well known yet. So we were still thinking about how you could teach that, but that wouldn't be a gesture we have to teach at this point. So this is one way of how you could teach gestures. Whenever you put your fingers down, we can show UI that tells you what other gestures you can perform. The problem with that is it might work well for teaching if you design it in a good way, but I don't think we would want to use our Windows machine and always have all this visual clutter pop up, have this UI pop up that tells us what else we can do. Here's another example. This one is even more stronger version of that. So you put your finger down, another circle appears, like put your finger here and then you can do something. And this one even has a shadow hand that shows you where you can put your hand.
So take your hand away, like all the way out of the frame. Now do it again.
These are not actually user studies, but more like demos. The reason I'm showing this to you is because this is kind of the start of our thinking. Like, how can we have the system give clues that kind of start teaching you how you can use or what other gestures you can perform. And the idea is that we don't want to teach out of context. We don't want to show, and we don't want you to have to read a manual or have to look at a video before you use the system. We want you to be able to discover these gestures, this additional functionality, while you're using the system. We want you to be able to discover it in context. Now, here's another example that's even stronger, but also enables more functionality. This is about, whereas the other two examples were about teaching manipulation gestures, where you're actually always getting incremental and direct feedback, this one is about teaching symbolic gestures, so gestures that are not related to you moving content around the screen. And it's a little part of a longer
previous
research
methods
video.
For teaching single-touch gestures exist, such as marking menus and dynamic guides, but there are scale problems with these approaches. Also, previous work does not provide methods for guiding all types of movement. We build much of our system around the raw visual input to the Microsoft Surface, our implementation platform. We display an offset version of this user shadow to provide direct feedback on how the system is interpreting the user's interactions. Shadow guides consist of two elements. First, their user shadow annotations, instructions for how to perform the gestures overlaid on the user shadow. Second, the registration pose guide, showing the required initial pose for the available gestures. By displacing the user shadow and its annotations at fixed distance, we solve the problem of occlusion.
So as you can see, this is a more complicated system, but it also enables more things. It's all about tracing those patterns. And then once you know how to trace those patterns, once you've learned that, you don't need those shadow guides anymore. Then the question becomes, how does the system know if you know the gestures? When do they disappear? What if it's a multi-user system and one person learned the gestures, but the other person didn't learn the gestures yet? So even though we were inspired by these kinds of explorations, I did not want to use versions or visuals that were this strong to teach, because I didn't want to have to worry about when to make them disappear. I'd rather have visuals that are always there, but they're not in the way. So when we were then actually creating the next generation interface for Surface, what we did is we developed a teaching gesture. And here we were able to do something that we were not able to do in Windows, because what we said is the teaching gesture is tapping on the screen. Because everybody, if they know a screen is a touchscreen, starts tapping on that screen to try to do things. And so our approach was that whenever you tap on the screen, the computer will give you tips about what you can do next. It will start explaining what kind of gestures you can do next. And I'll show you what that design was in this prototype. So this is an example of a horizontally scrolling list. But we didn't want tapping to open the application. Because we wanted to use tapping to be able to teach things. And this whole user interface was based on dragging things to do things. So I'll show that again. When the user taps on that image, it grows a little bit and an arrow comes out. And at the end of the arrow, there's the word open. But the arrow only appears very shortly. So you tap, an arrow comes out, and then you have to figure out, like, whoa, what happened here? And then if you hold your hand down, the arrow stays. If you follow that arrow, you can drag it out. And then if you lift your hand, it opens the application. Now, while that application opened, you saw an animation there of these two circles moving to the outside. So that gives you a little hint about how you can close the application again. But in principle, you can now use this application. If it's a game, you can start selecting the number of players. So what if you want to close the application? Well, that must be something with those circles on the side, but I don't know what to do with it. So I'll probably tap on them again. So if I tap, then there's that arrow again that shows me what to do. And the arrow says close at the end. So if I hold my finger down and I drag the application, now the application becomes smaller and I can actually drag it back into its original collection. So I'll take you through this one more time, just sort of tap to see, drag out to open. Tap, you get the tip again. And then drag back to close. We tested this system with users, and we found that people would learn how to use this system within around a minute, something like that, half a minute to a few minutes. But the interesting thing was that once they learned it, it became really easy and natural for them to use. But initially, we did something wrong. So when we, I'll give the example over here, once the application is open. Initially, what we did, when we showed those circles on the side, they were actually squares, little square boxes with an X in them. Because that's what we know from Windows. If you want to close a window or close an app, you click on that little box with the X in it. And people would figure it out. They would tap on the box with the X in it. The arrow would appear. They would tap again. The arrow would appear again. They would hold their finger down. The arrow would stay. They would drag their finger along the arrow, and the application would close. So it worked, and they learned it. But when we asked them what they thought of it, they said, yeah, it works, but I don't understand why I can't just tap on that box. So we're like, maybe we failed. Maybe this is not the right gesture. Maybe it is harder to slide your finger than to tap your finger. But then we tried out one thing. We tried to change that visual language, because the visual language refers to Windows. It refers to mouse. It refers to clicking. So what we did is we changed the square into this teardrop shape, and we took out the X and we replaced it with just a circle. So we did not refer back to the language of Windows. We didn't refer back to the language of clicking with the mouse. Now, the learning was as easy. So people would still learn it in the same, roughly the same amount of time. But now when we asked them about it afterwards, what they thought of it, they said, oh yeah, I like it, it works just fine. There were no more comments about that they would rather be tapping. Because actually, sliding your finger like this or tapping your finger on the screen, it's just as easy. One is like, it's not harder to slide. And you could see the people in the study, after they had played around with this for a few minutes, they would just slide as if they had been doing it all their lives. It was very interesting to see. So it is important. So there's two things that we learned from this. One is that we can teach people gestures while they're using the system. But the other thing is, we have to be very careful with the language that we use to teach them, the visual language. If that language refers to another language that already exists, so in our case, if it refers back to the mouse and clicking, then that's what people will think about. They'll think about clicking or tapping. If we create a new language for new gestures, then it does work. So what does that mean for Windows? What does that mean for our selection gesture? So what we wanted to do is we wanted to be able to teach that gesture. So if people would look at this start screen and they would want to select something, we want to start giving them hints of how to do that. But we don't want those hints, those visuals, to be detrimental to the UI experience. We don't want it to be that we show big errors three times and then we kind of stop showing them, or to have some kind of tutorial. We want something that actually works together with the interaction that you're doing anyway. So we don't have to worry about making it go away. And we tried different things there. The first thing we tried is this. Yeah. It's a concept that we call looseness. So again, a prototype. And this is a very early selection prototype. So this is a collection of items. I can scroll horizontally. And I can select items here by dragging down on those items. And it looks quite different from how it was before. Also, what you will notice that, or I don't know if you can see that, but there's no speed bumps or those different kind of levels of thresholds are not here. It's only, you have to drag down. You have to drag down pretty far to select. And then it selects. And there's a few disadvantages here. There's two ways that people select. One is they actually use their whole arm or part of their arm to move their finger down. Another one is where they just move their finger down. And in that case, if I just move my finger down here, I'm actually not selecting, but I'm accidentally activating the application because the system thinks that I'm tapping on it. Because the distance for selecting is too long. I have to drag all the way down here. So that's why we had to fine-tune that gesture. When we tried it initially like this, some people liked it who happened to be dragging like this, but some people didn't like it who were selecting like this. So that's one thing. But then the way we wanted to give a hint about how you could select something was that if you would scroll horizontally, you would accidentally move the item up and down. So you can see when I'm scrolling, you will see one of those items, that the one that my finger is on, you will see it moving up and down a little bit, and you'll see that blue bar appear. So we were making use of the sloppiness of people's movements, because, as I said before, your hand never moves at an exact horizontal line. It will always move up and down a little bit, because our joints are not made to move in straight lines. They move in circles. Accidental activation. So that actually worked pretty well. When users were scrolling that list, they saw the thing moving up and down. They would put their finger on it and be like, whoa, what's this? What's happening here? And nothing would happen. They would move it further down. They would see that bar appear, and they would start figuring out that something was happening there. So it was an okay way of teaching, or it was actually a good way of teaching this gesture. But what we didn't like is that every time you scroll a list, this one of those content items will move up and down, and this bar will appear. It made the system feel kind of sloppy, where the system should actually feel very precise, even though you make sloppy movements. So this was kind of showing too much of the sloppiness that users have in their gestures, that people have in their gestures, and it made the system not feel very good. It made you not feel very confident. So even though this way of teaching worked well, we didn't really like the effects of it. We didn't want Windows to be like that. So then what we did is we looked at other ways, at visuals of how we could teach people selection. And I'm going to show you a range of visuals. So one of those is the check mark that you see here. And we actually combined it with another visual that would show how you can rearrange things. But we also we looked at many, many things. So here's just a sheet, an example of something that we made early on where we looked at different things, like in the bottom left-hand corner you see what we called rails, these lines that show that something can slide between over a vertical axis. We have arrows, of course. We have all kinds of things that you can reveal. So like in the middle, the bottom middle, you see circles and other things that are revealed. And that's in the end the concept that we went with, but I'll show that in a minute. Oh, I'll show it here actually. The idea that we went with is revealing something. So if the item itself moves down, there's something behind it that should pique your curiosity, that should make you want to see more. So we had this square box there with a check mark in it, but you only see it halfway. So what you want to do is put your finger on that tile and drag it further down to see what's behind it. And if you would do that, you would accidentally, the first time, you would accidentally select an item, and then you would learn what that means. But when we tried that out, we had to figure out, like, well, how do users really understand that? So we tried all kinds of things. We tried arrows. We tried, like, bigger colored surfaces. We also tried to show the thresholds that I showed you earlier. So these are the distances that you can drag something so that something happens. We put icons in the thresholds. We made them darker and more obvious. We used bigger arrows. And we used text also. Like, maybe that works. You just say, perform these gestures or do this with your finger to get this functionality. Well, there were some issues with that. First of all, we didn't want to have arrows like this. Like I said before, we didn't want our UI to be kind of in your face with teaching things. With text, we also really didn't want it to be in your face, but maybe we could find a way of only showing that sometimes. But what we found out is that nobody reads text, even if we put things... what we did is also is we put text next to these icons here, but nobody would read it. So that was not very useful either. So in the end, what we went with is we kind of stuck with revealing this... with revealing this item and piquing people's curiosity, because that worked really well. But how would we reveal that item? How would we do that? So what we did is we defined a learning gesture. Just like in Surface, how we may tap our learning gesture. So when you tap on something, the system gives you hints of how to use that. In Windows, we couldn't do that because tap was going to be activating something, and it would be kind of too much of a change to change that. So what we did is we made press and hold our learning gesture. If you put your finger down on something and you don't move it or don't move it very much, the system will start giving you hints about what you're touching and also about what else you could do. So in this case, if you put your finger down, a tooltip will appear that says this is your desktop. And the item moves down slightly. And when it moves down slightly, it reveals something behind it. And the idea was that if you put your finger on it, it moves down slightly. Now you want to see what's behind it, so you move your finger down further. And that actually worked pretty well, because many people, if they try out different things, different ways of, for instance, if they want to select something, they try out different ways of doing that. And if that doesn't work, then in the end, at some point, what they'll do is they'll put their finger on it and they'll wait and see what happens. So that worked pretty well. The problem with it was that became the learned behavior. So people thought like, oh, so to select, I have to put my finger down on something, wait, and then slide down. So that's what we called superstitious behavior. So that the people who were using our system started developing rules for how it works that were actually not correct, but they kept using those rules because we taught them. Basically, we taught them in the wrong way. So in the end, what we did, and that's almost the end of my story, in the end what we did is instead of moving, if you put your finger on an item, moving that item down, what we did is if you put your finger on an item, it moves down and then it moves back up. So it doesn't look like by putting your finger on the item you change the state of it, like you make it put it in a different state. All it does is it moves down and up again to just reveal for a second that thing that's behind it to make you curious again about what it is. And to finish this talk, what I'll do is I'll show two more clips of user studies where you can see people discovering the gesture itself. This is actually a video that was taken a little bit earlier where it's still, if you put your finger on it, it just moves down and it stays down. And you will see a little bit of the superstitious behavior that's happening here. But because this user was relatively fast in learning, she learned it within a minute, and some other users took a few minutes and then started continuing that behavior where they had to press and hold. That's why we made those kind of small changes. So let's have a look at how she learns to use that gesture. This is the whole learning period from beginning to end.
Well, let's see. Not available.
So first she taps. That doesn't work.
And
she puts her finger down on the title, and then she moves it further down.
Rearrange. Okay, so I press and hold.
But now she's rearranging.
Okay, so I'm not really sure what to do with it. I'm thinking that if I press and hold, initially there were these two things that said... Okay, I'll do it again.
So that's the superstitious behavior. She thinks she has to press and hold.
There was select and there was rearrange. But now I'm not sure what to do. Like, if I want to uninstall this... Okay, so I'll do select. Maybe. So I've selected it. Aha! Okay. I found it. Okay.
So not all our users are so vocal, but with her you can see exactly when she's learning it, right? So she's trying and she's a little bit confused. How does it work? But there's something there because she sees all these visuals. Her curiosity was sparked initially, so she was moving it down. But then she's rearranging and she actually wants to select. Because of those visuals, she figures it out. And then at some point she goes, aha, and then she learned it. Now what we changed is, what you see here, there's two visuals. Let me see if I can stop it somewhere so you can actually see that. Yeah. So there's two visuals here. The top one says select, and then the bottom one actually says rearrange. And that's too complicated. So in the end, what we did is we simplified everything. In the end, there's only a selection visual there. And if you rearrange, you already pull the tile loose from the grid, so you don't need any more icons to show how that works. Rearrange is actually pretty easy to learn because people make these big gestures and they pull it loose. The select was the one that was harder to learn. And that's what you see in this video as well. So what I want to show you one more video clip, and this is going back to what I said in the beginning about a language. So once we have defined these gestures that work well with our human properties, that work well for the way we use our hands and fingers, and once we have found a way of teaching people to use or to learn those gestures within context, then it becomes really easy to use. Remember, that was the woman who said in the beginning she likes the continuity between the different applications. So here you see that in action. So this man has learned selection in the start menu, and now he has just opened an email application. These are all prototypes. These are not real applications. He has just opened an email application, and he's trying to figure out how to select something there. When you open the application, this is what it would look like. One item would be selected by default. So he's thinking.
Okay, so I noticed that emails are just like the apps out front. If you kind of move them a certain direction, a checkbox will appear. And I assume you hit delete and it'll go away. Yeah, so it does do that. Yeah, so selecting them would mean sliding them to the right instead of just clicking them head on.
So what's interesting is that he is able to very quickly translate from one environment to the other. Because in Start, the scrolling happens horizontally, and he has probably used his index finger to select things. Now, what you see in his email application, the list scrolls vertically, so selection happens horizontally, and he uses his thumb. So he uses a different digit, it's a different direction, but he immediately applies those same rules. So what we found is that once they've learned this, they can apply it across the system, and it becomes something that they expect to work everywhere. And those are the aspects of a language that I talked about in the beginning. Once you've learned this gesture in one place, then you can use it everywhere, and in that way the system becomes easy to use. And that's what the woman who I showed in the beginning of this presentation talked about, that because of the consistency, even though there's a small learning curve, it becomes easy to use. And that's the end of this presentation. So I hope that I gave you some insights and kind of got you thinking about how we can develop gestures and how we can start teaching these gestures. But I'd be happy to take any questions if you have any. Are there any questions? It's at the end of the day, everybody's tired. I don't see any hands. Am I missing somebody? Yeah, there's a question over there. Select all, yes. Yeah. So the question is, what about select all? How do you do that? And that's a really good question, because in the current Windows, there's many ways of selecting things, right? You have single select, you have multi-select, you have what we call marquee select, where you can drag a rectangle around something, you can do control select, which is a discontinuous select. There's all these different ways of selecting. And actually, the interesting thing is, if you use a mouse and a keyboard, you have a lot of controls available. So One thing I would say is that touch is not necessarily like the new and best thing that there is. I think mouse is really great and keyboard is really great. So there are some things that you can do better with mouse and keyboard than with touch. With touch, things are often, you get a kind of more limited set of what you can do. But I don't know if it has to stay like that. But at this point, we don't have a solution for selecting like larger areas. What we're you can do single select and multi-select. That's kind of built in here because there's no modes or something, so you can select as many things as you want to. Because the gesture is so easy, it's easy to select multiple items and to select more than one. You saw that in one of those user clips. And we don't have the ability to kind of drag a rectangle over it because we wanted to use that gesture for moving items within the list. We thought that was more important. When you want to select everything, what we recommend is to put a button that says select everything in the app bar at the bottom. Because if you select one thing, that bar comes up and then you can say select all or deselect all. And that's only for applications where that's actually an important thing to do. There's also the idea of having a basket where you can select multiple things and you will see a representation of those in the app bar to make it easier to kind of keep track of what you've selected. So some of that functionality is available, but we don't have all the functionality that you have with a mouse and keyboard. But it's a good question. Maybe we will come up with those kinds of things. Yes? To select multiple things. Yeah, so the suggestion is here you could use multiple fingers to do something like that. And I think that's a good idea. What's really interesting about that is we have to be careful with how much functionality do we enable with our gestures at any one place. Because one thing, I guess the way I talked about it, of adding rearrange to selection, it sounded kind of pretty easy, but it actually set us back 1 or 2 months, because we had selection all the way figured out. It worked really well. We had all those thresholds working really well. And then we added rearrange in that same gesture. And that made it much harder for users to learn selection, because now it was kind of stuck between tap and rearrange. And it also just made it harder to select. We had to fine-tune those gestures again. So I think using two fingers is a good idea, but then we have to think about that it also conflicts, for instance, with zooming. Because if I put two fingers down on a list and I move my two fingers apart from each other or towards each other, I'm actually zooming. So we have to now find the difference between moving two fingers in the same direction and moving them in different directions, which theoretically is possible, but there, if I don't exactly do that or I happen to move my fingers out a little bit or something, then I might be accidentally zooming. So whereas I think that's a good idea to do, we would then have to do a lot more fine-tuning again to make that work. And I actually think that those things are going to happen. So my idea about the touch language is that it's not a finished thing right now. I think we've developed the beginning of something, and we want to be adding gestures to that and be able to teach those and then kind of carefully kind of extend that area. I hope that answers your question. Any more questions? Any more hands? Yeah, okay. Now. Yeah, so I'm going to translate that a little bit. Like, what are the pros and cons of aligning a gesture with something that's out there already, right? Does that kind of phrase it in a good way? Yeah, so there's an interesting issue. Like, there are conventions of things that people already know, and how much do you want to align to those conventions, or how much do you want to be different? My answer, the way I think, is you should design gestures that work really well for the human properties. So if that gesture works well for what we believe touch is good at, then I think it's the right thing to align. If we think that it's not the best gesture that we could have, then I think we should not align. So, for instance, in the Windows 8 touch language, pinching and stretching is used for zooming, because it would be, I would not be very smart to come up with a new gesture to zoom, I think. I think that works really well. It's a really good gesture to do for a tablet. But for selection, you were talking about the iPad, In the iPad, selection is a modal experience. So if I tap on something, I launch it. Now if I want to select it, I have to tap a button. I go into a different mode. Now I can select things. We try to avoid as much as possible those kinds of modes. So we didn't, in our case, we didn't think that was the best solution to use. We didn't think that was a good extensible solution. And from my point of view, that's because selection is such a fundamental part of the system. It enables so many other things. So we'd rather have that be an integral gesture that you can perform really easily. So in that case, we decided to actually change something that people might already know. And come up with our own gesture. Now, I also think that if you look at the difference between pinching, I think many people know that already, but I think if you would ask people how do you select, like in general, how do you select with touch, I don't think there is yet really kind of an accepted convention yet. I don't think people would say like, oh yeah, I just hit the selection button. So I think it depends very much on what the human properties are that work for that for the gesture or not, if you want to align with what kind of conventions there are or not. And sometimes the conventions are so well established that you can't change them anymore. So maybe I don't agree with tapping as a way to launching applications, but I mean, I don't think it would be very smart to kind of change that at this point, so we decided not to do that. I hope that answers your question. Okay. Okay, yes? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's... Yeah. Yeah. I could not hear you so well, but I think I understand what you say. You said, wouldn't it be nice if you would have some kind of button in the corner that you could put your thumb on that actually enables a mode, for instance, for selection. And I think that's a very good way of doing things. That's what happens with the keyboard right now, right? If you hit, depress the shift button or the control button or the alt button, you actually mode your interface. And now if you click with your mouse, it does something else, right? So that's a multimodal interaction. I can, with my left hand, I can mode the interface, and with my right hand, I can then click on things to do something. And that's what we call a kinesthetically held mode. So as soon as I lift my finger from the shift button or from the alt button, that mode goes away, which makes it that there's less mode errors, because you understand when you're in the mode and when you're out of that. So the question is, could you do that with touch as well? Could you have some kind of button that you depress and you're in a mode and now my touch with my other hand does something different? I think that is a good idea. That's not a solution that we use at this moment, because we first wanted to use the gestures that were kind of easily available. In this case, it's the single finger gestures. But I think as a next step, it would definitely be interesting to find different kinds of kinesthetically held modes similar to the shift button to enable other functionality. Does that answer your question? Any more questions? Yeah. So the question is, the iPad sold very well. Has there been any consideration to just copy the touch language? Yes, of course. You want to look at any devices that are out there that are used by a lot of people and make sure you don't kind of reinvent the wheel unnecessary. So I think a lot of the gestures that are on the iPad, like tap to open an application, like zooming, for instance, are the same in Windows. I would argue that those are not just iPad applications, because that's actually another talk that I did this morning. Touch has been around for since the 70s, the early 60s. So a lot of those gestures have been around for a long time. Even pinch to zoom was actually kind of invented in the 70s by Myron Kruger. So a lot of those gestures have been around for a much longer time. And I think you should definitely look at those and use the ones that are useful to use. Some of the studies that you see will be there were with tablets, user studies with tablets, with iPads. We looked at all the competitors and to see what worked well. And I think you can see, well, so there was a talk that I did this morning about the touch language. You can see a number of those gestures are the same as what you would expect or what you know from other touch computer manufacturers. And some of them are different, where we thought we could actually add something, have a more extensible language, or where we thought we could make better use of the human properties of touch. Any other questions? I don't see anybody, so shout if there's something else. No. Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. I'd be happy to chat afterwards.